life fellow in IEEE. However, I'm trained as a physicist. I tell people it's like an engineer, only worse. So they, I was looking for a job. I was a faculty instructor at Cornell, and they didn't have many postdocs when I got my degree in 1947. That's the thing been coming along since. So I went to get a job, a teaching job at a big university. Since my parents had both been a Cornell faculty, I thought that would be a nice place. I get in there, but I decided that I wasn't going to get ahead on the university campus. And there were people, Hans Bethe and Richard Feynman, were both on the faculty.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little top heavy. And besides, I didn't have any other Cornell connections, so I was looking around. I decided earlier I wanted an academic job, but the manager of the GE Electronics Lab, which is fairly new at Syracuse, was Lloyd DeVore, and he had gotten his degrees, I guess, at Penn State. And the professor at Penn State, under whom I did my master's thesis in X-ray crystallographer, suggested my name and said he wanted an X-ray crystallographer. Well, they didn't need one, but I didn't consider myself a crystallographer since my PhD thesis was in wave mechanics and theoretical physics. Enough to pass up an opportunity, I said, but this is what I have done. And they wrote back saying, well, this looks even more interesting, so they had me come over for a day. I decided not to get into an academic career when I was working summer job in my junior and senior years at Gettysburg College. General Telegraph Company, I guess it was, a Federal Telegraph.
Federal Telegraph, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They also own Mackay Radio. One of the engineers there was in charge of me later on when I was chairman of the IRE Convention Record Committee. They had people from each professional group, and he was one of the PG members who was on the Convention Record Committee, which mm-hmm. is kind of interesting. I saw his obituary in my AEEE publications in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but that was a hot, grimy place. It was summertime. Instead of having being air conditioned, they had salt tablets around, lots of water. And I'd say, well, this is pretty grimy, I don't want that. But when I went over to visit the electronics lab, I was raised on vacuum tubes.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had an experimental attitude toward things, even though my thesis was theoretical. And I got in. I had myself there. Oh, and when they showed me the semiconductor area, which is where they needed the crystallographer, I saw rectifiers that were unbelievable. In those days, a large number 80 vacuum tube would give you all 100 milliamperes of rectified current, and had some other inconveniences too, although it was very reliable. Well, they showed me a rectifier whose active area is germanium. Its active area is 1 square centimeter, which they can rectify 100 amperes. That really impressed me. So we want somebody around here. At the end of the day, he said, well, this is, what do you think? So they verbally made me express the formal intention of making an offer. I even discussed salary. When I got home, I came down with polio. I think that she was an epidemic in 1951.
Hmm.
There was an epidemic, polio epidemic in Syracuse, and I probably got exposed there.
Hmm.
When I came back, they wrote me, offered me formally, and I wrote back and said, I'd like to accept that. You ought to know I'm in the hospital with polio. They told me I'm going to walk again because it's a light case, but I wanted you to know that. I wrote back a very fine letter saying, the letters and some other technical professional souvenirs that disappeared in the burglary we had last few months. Mm-hmm. And the storage, there are many storage. Anyway, so we aren't hiring you for to be a long distance runner, but we understand that the muscle between the ears isn't affected by polio, and so we want you anyhow. And they stood by me, even though the works manager, or the works physician, wanted me to sign a waiver and all the GE medical benefits.